This is Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station, part of the Attention Talk Network. Its sister stations include Attention Talk Video, your ADHD talk show station, our subscription-based newsletter, Attention Talk News, your ADHD news source. Each media channel can be accessed at their respective URLs, attentiontalkradio.com, attentiontalkvideo.com, and attentiontalknews.com. Keep up with all the media channels on our Facebook page, found at facebook.com/attentiontalkradio.
Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Welcome, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper, and with me tonight is my co-host, but guest tonight, Kirsten Milliken. Tonight is December the 25th. In the year 2013 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and I think I just heard Kirsten say, hey, was that you, Kirsten?
Hey, yes, it was.
All right. It is Christmas Day evening, and many of you out there are probably exhausted at this point in time, kind of laying around, time to kill, and you had probably nothing better to do than listen to an Attention Talk Radio episode. I mean, I know that's what I would be doing.
This is the last gift of the day, Jeff.
It's the last gift of the day and the last radio show of the year.
How many did you have this year? Did you get in 52?
We got in, 52, 53, 54. We did one each week, and then we did a special one for there was a conference in Europe. We had Dr. Barkley on, kind of advertising on that, and then, which leads me into one of our announcements, we did an interview with Dr. Barsley and Ashley Fowles about the upcoming 2014 Transitions Conference, which is a day-long conference in Lynn University in Boca Raton, Florida. Dr. Barkley will be the keynote there, and I, along with several other past guests like Dr. David Now, Dr. Patricia Quinn and Rob Tedisco will also be presenting at that conference. So we did, everybody, by the way, go check out the conference. For more information on that, go to lynn.edu/transitions. So anyway, we did a special show with them advertising that. We did a special show for the ADHD Awareness Month, and then I think we did another one. So we had to have, 55 of them this year, all original new content. So, you know, we got to be exhausted after all that. I think I lost my co-host.
No, you didn't lose me. You know, it's the Christmas season, and yeah, I'm in the midst of trying to wrap presents.
You're supposed to have had that done by now.
No, I have a tradition in our household where I think it's actually better to wait until after Christmas to get presents, because that's when you can get all the really good stuff, because all the shelves are stocked again and all the sales are back on. So it's my little ADHD tip for everybody. Wait until after the holidays. It's a much better surprise.
Take it to the bank. Get everything half priced, right?
Exactly.
Well, that's it. You're actually, you know, you're the co-host, and I guess sometimes guest. So I guess let's just talk a little bit about you, so those that aren't regular listeners know something about Kirsten. She's a coach and a clinical psychologist. Clinical psychologist first, and then she wised up and became a coach, I might add. And she lives with her two amazing sons and her two freaky dogs in Portland, Maine. Kirsten attended graduate school in Central California at, is it Alliant? Am I pronouncing that right? Alliant University?
It used to be California School of Professional Psychology, but now it's Alliant University.
Okay. So I am pronouncing it wrong, and I'm glad they shortened it because I wouldn't have gotten all that other stuff anyway. She was thinking about a career in the military before deciding to focus on clinical work, and as a dynamic, energetic individual, and I can attest to the fact that she's both dynamic and energetic, and oh my gosh, being around her at conference can wear you out. Anyway, she thrives on diverse experiences. She's worked for several years as a staff psychologist at the New York Police Department, so she found herself many times speeding down the West Side Highway with lights and sirens blazing in the middle of the night to deal with crises of officers that are involved. She'd been in practice for 11 years, and through that process, it was interesting because a couple years ago, her son was diagnosed with ADD, attentive-tite, and the question said came up of, like, where did she get that from? It's like, oh, my God, it might be her. So she got her diagnosis and took part in her journey to try to figure all this kind of stuff out and moved into the coaching world. She did some work. She hired a coach and started to work her way through some of these things and is amazingly successful now as both a psychologist and a coach, I might add. And what's your official? Are you a host or a partner of Play DHD?
I am the owner and host.
Owner and host of Play DHD, which at first you think play. Well, play is a big part of our world as children, and I have come to learn through Kirsten is that play is a big deal. If you ever think about it, play has a lot to do with organization and sequencing and putting things together. And as we've interviewed Dr. Barkley before, a lot of that stuff is very important. It's when it's externalized, and in those with ADD, it becomes privatized, which is more challenging. So the element of getting that back out and playing with it, I think, is an amazing idea. So she started PlayDHD.com. You might go check it out because there's a lot of very fun videos that are there. So I guess, Kirsten, that you're welcome to the show or great to see you again. I don't know which.
It's great to hear you again, Jeff. It's like I haven't talked to you in so long.
At least a day or two. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, you know, I have to say, even though I'm not on the show every week, I do appreciate that you and I are keeping contact about all the stuff that we're doing together. So,
it's
a big part of what I do, and I like to think that I am part of what you do all the time.
Well, you are, because we've had some great shows, and, you know, tonight is really kind of talking about what we learned from the experts and stuff like that, so I can't help but one of my favorite shows this year is when you and I came on, and we did our first, like, kind of point-counterpoint thing. There was actually an article in it was printed in a magazine or something somewhere that we brought on board, and you were taking one side of the argument, which I thought were like these task-type things that I don't necessarily think work a lot for those people who find themselves talking, and it's kind of some of my theories. And I remember that was kind of a fun show. We actually got some interesting comments on that. The goal of the show wasn't to say anything was right or wrong, but at least debate things a little bit to get people thinking about it. And then we got some emails on that who said, that was it made me think. So it was fun having you on that show.
I have to say that some of my favorite shows, although I love all of the guests that you and I have talked to together and also just the ones that, you know, I've listened to you interview, but my favorite shows with you have always been the ones where you and I are talking. So
That's because we get to be very opinionated. Usually we have to listen to the opinion of our guests, but we get to share ours when we're working together, right?
It's hard to keep your opinions to yourself.
And you know something? I'm an expert at my opinions. That's something I love to talk about. Well, of the shows that we did this year, does any of them stand out to you? And what are some of the tidbits that you learned when we were working together? Anything?
Well, let's see. The ones that stood out, I have a horrible memory. Like, I very much live in the moment, like very ADHD. It's either now or not now, so everything goes out of my head. I think the series that we did with Dr. Nowell, but that was last year.
That was last year. What about, let's talk about the series that we did with, we'd never done this before. We did five shows in a row, basically in the month of February with Rob Todisco. And the shows were, basically, the first one was talking about Rob Todisco as an ADHD community asset, and he's absolutely amazing. He's done it all, been everywhere, and is really just a great advocate of somebody who's got lots of credentials that can help. But past that, we kind of walk through the life cycle of a kid that has ADHD in the school system and advocating for them and what to do when they get in trouble and then what happens when they do get in trouble, what do you do? And then all the way through the prison system and what that's riddled with. And I got to tell you, Kirsten, one of the things that just blew me away, as I never really thought about it, but that notion of, if somebody's got ADHD and they're committed to prison, that all the everything that they would normally use in order to learn to cope and to deal with strategies in the real world are actually taken away. So the meds are taken away. There's no counseling. There's no coaching. There's no organization. I mean, you don't have to walk around with a calendar in your head. There's no to-do list that you do. There's nothing really to practice. And so literally all those things that you would want to them to work with and learn to work in, you know, among the people in mainstream life, all that stuff is taken away. And then at some point in time, they release them into the workforce with basically no skills and nothing to deal with that stuff. And to me, it was profound learning for me because I'm like, that's just a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, I mean, you know, sometimes some of the systems will provide some counseling and things like that, but honestly, they're not living their real lives. You're living in a very controlled and, you know, that works well. It's kind of like putting somebody with ADHD in the military. You know what to expect and when to expect it, what you have to do to get along, and that's great. But then when you take all of that away and you just say it's all up to you now, it's not the same anymore. You haven't given these kids any opportunity to learn what they need to learn to develop and to cope. So, yeah, I mean it's bad just for, you know, neurotypical kids, but the kid with ADHD, it's a nightmare.
And it's sad to me. How can you expect them to go out there and integrate when you took all that stuff away and they haven't really coped with the real world and they haven't really dealt with ADD in a real world setting for that whole period of time? So, amazing expectations for what you were expecting of these people with all that stuff kind of taken away. And you know, Kirsten, one of the other fun shows about that series that to me was I had done a series of shows years ago with Matt Cohen. I ventured into this whole IEP section 125, and I learned something from those shows. I was ill-prepared because we were getting into the weeds on a lot of things, and it just varies all over the place. And so the second show that we had done with Rob this year about when you got somebody, a child with ADHD in the school system, we were trying to talk about what to expect. And this is the epicenter of Attention Talk Radio, because so often we like to look at how you pay attention to something and then look at it a little differently, or literally look at how people pay attention to it. And one of the cool things about that show to me was really trying to illustrate, and I think Rob brought it out, is that the law says, in general sense, is that the schools are responsible for going out there and finding children that are in need. And the law says that they're in charge of providing services for these people out there. But at the end of the day, even though the law says that, these people wake up and they deal with budgets and staffing and training and time and da-da-da. And as a result of it, if you're a parent going into the situation and you think that the school system is paying attention to that and that's going to happen, to me, you're smoking crack. What you really need to pay attention to is you need to understand if your child has a disability, you need to understand that disability with specificity, and you need to come in armed knowing what type of accommodations you may or may not need and understand the law and almost like remind them of the size of the law, but then ask for only what you need. And that was a great show for me because, again, it illustrated what we so often do is if you pay attention to the laws and how it's supposed to work, you're going to get caught in the system because it really doesn't necessarily work like that. And you need to kind of focus on these things if you're going to manage it. You remember that show?
I absolutely remember that show. But you know what it reminded me of? Because, you know, that show was very serious. And, you know, you really do have to pay attention to your child and educate yourself about ADHD so you can help the school system. But then we also had a guest that was earlier that year, and it was Melinda McNeil.
Uh-huh.
And she was a school teacher.
Yep.
And she's, the owner of Hey You.
Yep.
And she was paying attention to how her kids learned, and she developed that great program. It's kind of like the old school Schoolhouse Rock. I grew up on, right? So she had all those really neat things to help younger kids really get routines down and things like that. And that was fun. So that's why that one stood out to me, of course.
And you know something, Naira, I saw her at the CHAD conference and spent a little bit of time with her. All their songs and their routines are actually coming out on apps here pretty soon. So
they are. They're quite great.
Yeah, which is nice and really, really, really kind of convenient. Kirsten, I need to run to a break real quick and hit a commercial and come back and continue with this. Before we do, a quick plug, it's playdhd.com. And what's your regular coaching website?
ADHDexecutivecoach.com.
All right. With that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Breaking news. CHAD introduces the new digital edition of Attention Magazine, starting with the August issue and continuing with each bi-monthly issue. The digital edition is available for easy reading on www.chad.org. Through collaborative leadership, advocacy, research, education, and support, CHAD and Attention Magazine work to provide science-based information about ADHD to parents, educators, and professionals who treat the disorder, the media, and the general public. When you advertise in Attention Magazine, your advertisement that includes a website address will automatically have a link to your website. There is no additional fee for your digital edition advertisement. It's free.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an Edge Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function impairment make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm here with Kirsten. Kirsten, how are you?
I'm doing great. You know, I'm looking at this list of all of the programs that you've done this year, and I'm thinking, you know, at this, by the time this airs, it will have been a couple of weeks, but there was just a big article that came out in the New York Times about, you know, the increase in ADHD and how the med companies are pushing drugs and all this kind of stuff, and this is what's driving some of it. And I'm thinking, you know, whoever wrote that article really doesn't listen to Attention Talk Radio. Maybe that's the thing that we need to tell them to do, because you've covered media sensationalism, the impact of stigma on ADHD, the impact of the media on ADHD, the psychology of medication and treatment, your pharmacist and ADHD assessments. I mean, you know, lies and statistics. You've got all these great shows addressing all of this misinformation and revealing some of the truths about ADHD, the treatment, you know, what really do you do about it? What does medication do? All of this. And I'm thinking, we need to get a hold of the New York Times and tell them to start listening to the show.
Well, you know, it's fascinating because I'm glad you brought that up, because we do that, and we did all those shows with different experts and kind of different angles trying to get to the truth. But, you know, those articles that are being printed in the New York Times, the most recent one, if you actually look through it, what you might realize if you really focus on it is most of the stuff that's being cited is stuff that's decades old.
Yeah.
It's not in the now, which is really kind of fascinating because there's then and now. So if we're going to talk about now, let's talk about now. That's not in first stuff in the past, but really what was very interesting is that article by the same author was written back in February, and it really hit a nerve with me, and we actually did a show on it. It was called Drowning in Media Sensationalism, and I wrote this up, and I really kind of meant this, and it was basically, I said, the story was disturbing, and what's even more disturbing was the fact that the media would capitalize on the pain of the thief family using sensationalism that caused further stigma on sufferers of ADHD who take medications properly. Very simply, the media could use counterbalance in their reporting. And what I was really trying to get at this thing is this Richard Fee tragic story of somebody who was taking ADHD stimulant medications and had passed away. And I don't want to take anything from the tragic loss. I'm not trying to go – nothing at all. But the media took in and just sensationalized this one story and stigmatized everything. And what was fascinating, that I had ran across a blog that Teresa Maitland and Dr. Abramowitz had done that was amazing, because it talked about the fact that this sensationalism is creating this fear and this worry out in the community, and there's people who could really benefit from some medications, and even the author of these other articles acknowledges that, you know, there's some people who could use it, but they're creating fear, and what that does is prevent those people from going to get treatment that could change their lives. Or what was really fascinating is it stigmatizes, and the doctors don't get involved until a person's at rock bottom. And that really hit me. And we did that show specifically because I really felt that there was – they focused on one person who had a face, and the, these nameless, faceless people out there that don't have a voice that really got kind of thrown on their bus. So I didn't mean to kind of go off on that rant, but we do these things specifically to create some of that balance. And I don't think the people really know because they react to the emotion of that story and don't realize how much it's hurting other people out there.
Well, and I always find it somewhat ironic. I mean, you know, this story was about somebody who unfortunately took this medication and ended up having, you know, a lethal effect on him. I was just at a conference in Liverpool, England, where a mother got up, talked about her son who had passed because he didn't get treatment. And they, you know, in England, it's much harder to get treatment for ADHD than it is here. And unfortunately, this young man paid a price at a very early age. So,
that's,
you know, that's not in the news. That doesn't make the news. So,
absolutely.
You know,
it's funny because you just said something that kind of reminds me of another show. This year we did something we've never done before, and we actually took our show on site. So we went up to Northern Virginia, and this was – I'd like to thank the people at the Northern Virginia chapter of CHAD. They hooked us up with Commonwealth Academy, and Dr. Clifford Sussman kind of came in, and Commonwealth Academy is a private school kind of near the Reagan Airport. And what they did is they had all the juniors and seniors write questions on a piece of paper. And I went there live with Dr. Sussman, and we sat up in front of everybody, and we had, you know, basically I had asked him the questions. And what was fascinating to me was it was a huge opportunity for people to ask questions they wouldn't ordinarily do. And It was what was fun for me was the types of questions that they asked, and I'm just they were as strange as if you take stimulant medications, can you get an erection or not? Or what's the impact of stimulants and marijuana? Types of questions that you wouldn't ordinarily get to ask, and I have to tell you, it was a really fun show. What I learned from that was some interesting thing from Dr. Sussman, but the diversity of the questions that our teenagers with ADHD are thinking about.
Yeah. They are thinking about it. They're curious, and they don't have anybody to ask these questions to. So, you know, thank God you guys were there. They had an opportunity to ask all the weird and I'm sure some very common questions, but some weird ones too. So.
Yeah, it was fascinating. We like to thank the Commonwealth Academy and the Northern Virginia chapter of CHAD for kind of pulling that stuff together. Kirsten, I have to tell you, another show that was a particular favorite of mine, we've talked to people about mindfulness, awareness, kind of contemplation. And I would, you know, I struggled with all that stuff for the longest time because I, you know, I'm a contextual type guy and I got to understand it all. And we had Mark Burton in June. And what was really cool for me in that show was in talking to him and going back and forth about the similarities and differences among mindfulness, meditation, contemplation, and awareness. And it was really kind of cool for me because I felt like, at least in my mind, we brought it all together. They're all very, very, very similar. It's like there's this thing that you focus on, and for me as an attention coach, you're noticing your attention wander, if you will, and you bring it back to whatever that focal point is. So in meditation, you focus in on your breath, the breathing part of it. Mindfulness much as sometimes is an object or a thing. Contemplation is reflecting kind of like thoughts or stuff in the past, and awareness is a little bit more about the now. I'm not getting some of those definitions right, but it was interesting to me and that how it all kind of came together and they were all very similar. And it's been fun for me because now when I'm working with those with ADD, in the past I've heard people talk about meditation and mindfulness, and it was all kind of I couldn't. To me, it's like Jell-O. You couldn't quite nail it too long. But now that I feel like I understand them, they're attention exercises. And when working with those ADs, literally I give them exercises like shooting free throws to get better at managing your attention. So it was, I have to share that because that was one of my favorite shows of the year and a big learning that I had.
Can I just share with you that I love Mark Burton. He and I became friends this year. And it's ironic that you say that you realize that meditation is fun, because when Mark and I were talking about meditation, I realized that meditation is what you do when you play. It's a form of playing, right? You have to be mindful. You're not thinking about what you're doing, where you're going, what your goal is. You're in the moment, just enjoying paying attention, So, yeah, of course it's fun. You're playing.
That's cool. That's another. I'm getting a ha-ha right now.
Another
cool.
level.
Yeah.
Another level of it.
And you begin to see the importance of it. When you kind of dig into these things and you get a little bit more of what's there, some of that stuff's kind of cool.
You know that one of my shows, Jeff, took us a year to get on, and that was the 4th of July show, which was
our 3rd
of July show. So we had talked last year about getting somebody on to talk about the connection between PTSD and ADHD. And, of course, you know, and some of our listeners know that I work with veterans at the Veterans Administration part of my week. And I clearly see that there's a connection between ADHD and PTSD with a lot of the vets, some of who were diagnosed before they went into the military as kids, and some of who have come back with PTSD and now, as they're being evaluated for that, realize that, you know, they probably met criteria for ADHD before that. They function really well in the military. They do so well because, again, as we were saying earlier, they've got structure. They know what to do. Everything is clear. And then they go to these war zones, and they're ramped up all the time. Their brain is constantly on, and it's kind of like taking stimulant drugs all the time because that dopamine is constantly flowing with the adrenaline, and they get back, and there is nothing that gets you back to that place again in your mind of being on and focused like that all the time, and they come back, and they crash. And oftentimes, the combination of ADHD and PTSD is just, I mean, PTSD alone is horrible. ADHD is painful. The two of them together is just, it can be a disaster, an absolute disaster. And so we got Dr. Charles Parker on from Foresight, and he knew all of this stuff. He was able to talk about the brain research and all the chemicals that were involved and all of that. And I was just in heaven listening to him because, you know, I see this, but I'm not a neuropsychologist. I'm not a psychiatrist. And so he was able to explain it in a way scientifically that just kind of validated what I'm seeing from these guys.
That was a particularly interesting show because Dr. Parker, the guy's exceptionally bright, so he's got all that back stuff, and he loves to talk about some of that stuff, and you're connected to it, and then you got me. And I remember 10 minutes in the show, whoa, everybody, you lost me. Let's go back. And it was kind of fun because when it was over with, I have to go back and listen to the show because I remember the amount of information coming to me was just incredible. But I do remember that this stuff is kind of on a continuum, and I learned a lot not to judge it. But it was kind of fun to kind of filter that stuff down and mirror it back. And then Dr. Parker goes, yeah, you're kind of getting that. And that was a really, really, really good show because of the layers of intellect that we had, mine at the bottom, of course, but how we were able to kind of gel that all that stuff together. And I do think that it was a really, really, really good show. And one, if you don't have PTSD or whatever, it'd be great for you to go watch it out there if anybody's listening to that, because it was just some interesting, just fun information, knowledge information that's useful to have. So I'm glad you brought that one
and
up.
We have a lot of veterans. If you live in a town, in a community in the United States, you know a veteran. And most likely, you know somebody who's been in the military and maybe gone to war. So, you know, just to get some perspective, it was interesting.
Absolutely. Well, we need to run to a break. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say July was a good month. So, you know,
it was.
Go ahead and go to a break.
There we go. We're going to go to a break. When we come back, a lot of times we have experts on the show, but the next show I want to talk about is somebody who's an expert but not in the mental health world. Matter of fact, he doesn't actually have ADD, and it was just one of our fun shows, but I'll tease you with that. Remember, playdhd.com. Go check out Kirsten's stuff, and with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
You can't go off to school with them, but we can. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more how an EDGE coach can help your student reach their full potential.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a time timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You deserve the best trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to ADDCA.com and click on Find a Coach.
Do you have something those with ADHD need? Advertise on Attention Talk Radio. We are a narrowcast, internet-based radio show targeting those with or impacted by ADHD. To learn more about advertising opportunities, email attention at attentiontalkradio.com.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're having a great conversation on the evening of Christmas Day in the year 2013. I got Kirsten Milliken here, and we're having a really good time. One of the shows that really stands out in my mind, Kirsten, which is kind of interesting, was Men Married to ADHD Women, A Survival Guide. And this is a show, some of our shows come about just in the most bizarre way. I had the opportunity, I was in a situation around some people with ADHD, and I was talking to an individual that is known to have ADHD and about a possible radio situation. And it was funny because all of a sudden I found myself talking to this person's husband. And we're just kind of talking about the situation. He said, you know, what the guys out there need to know if they're married to an ADHD woman. And before I get into it, he said this thing. I was like, oh, my God, we have to have you onto the show. And literally, he described, if you're married to ADHD, you need to wake up one day and think of it like this. Imagine your wife got hurt tragically in a car accident, and she's laid up for at least 6 months or more. You've got two kids, and the house has got to run. The kids got to get to school. You got to get your stuff done. The groceries got to get done. And said, start at that point in time and work your way backwards. And he said, when you jump into that perspective and you really kind of do it, you begin to manage things in a completely different way. And as he began to describe it, it was funny because he talked about, well, you know, my wife loves to work. So I'm like, go, you go work. I'm going to kick back here. And like things like, you know, he wouldn't let her into the kitchen at all because it was going to be more of a headache and a mess on his hand. And it was just an interesting perspective because it was like, okay, guys, quit fighting this. Just flip the thing upside down and move forward. And it really stood out because I think it was really, really good advice and really, really pretty timely. And I would suggest out there and it goes both ways too. I mean, I think you can listen to the show and just imagine it's a woman talking and married to a man. But I just had to throw that one out there because it was really a fun show.
I imagine it was. I feel bad for all of the men that I've been married to, and there have been a few. So.
Speaking
None
of that, this is a show outside the last year, but we did do a show with you called, and I love the title, it was Going from Wow to Bored, and you had the gone part.
Yeah.
And if any of our listeners go back, it was like an April show in 2012, I think it was. But,
yeah, it was.
It was a good one.
But then you did another one with me in July this year. On ADHD Play.
Oh, yes.
Yes, you did. You forgot about that one.
I didn't forget about it. We just hadn't got to that. We had talked about a little bit of Play. Anyway. And the fun part about that one is we talked about Play. You got me on board at Play, and now you, Dr. Parker, Alan Brown, and myself, we have a presentation on Play.
And Elaine Taylor-Klaus, yeah.
Yes. Coming up at the ADHD Coaches Organization conference in Phoenix. Why don't you just talk about Play for a little bit? To me, that show was really fun because I never took Play very seriously, but when we were talking, it made a lot of sense to me, particularly in Dr. Barkley's executive function deficit disorder context, because in that interview, his theories of you play, you talk when you're a kid, and that becomes privatized, and so often. Mm-hmm. The prefrontal cortex doesn't have the memory. It's good to externalize that into Play. In my own theories, in terms of insightful thinking, which is discoveries that come, that's a sudden comprehension that takes place when you pay attention to something differently. And I realize that all that stuff comes about Play. I mean, you ever see somebody who's got some gadget, like, you know, they open a computer, well, I'm just playing with it for a second. They use that vernacular, and literally you are playing with it to see what kind of works. And that's my side of it. You want to talk
about
Play a little bit?
It's all about being in the moment. Yeah, it's all about being in the moment. And I think, you know, Dr. Barkley looks at, you know, he's got all of his different levels of executive function there, and one of them is about playing to yourself. And it has to do with problem solving. So, you know, when we're little, we problem solve everything out loud. You know, we ask why, you know, what do you think of this? We're always looking for feedback and asking questions to problem solve things. And eventually you want to internalize that so that you're, you know, when you're faced with a challenge or you want to figure something out or do something, you can process that in your head and come up with a way to do it. But it's about the process. You know, how do you go about doing it? And you don't, you're not always going to come out at the same solution. But for me, you know, I take it even further than that, which is, you know, playing all the time and a lot of it out loud, not just in my head or in my clients' heads or whoever I'm talking to. Because to me, play is about motivation, attention, and interest. And those are the three things that if you have ADHD, you're struggling with. And so if you're playing with things, you are activating that frontal part of your brain, and it's easier to pay attention, be interested, and be motivated. So if I find, if I'm doing a math problem and it's boring and it's hard, you know, I'm not paying attention. I'm not interested.
Yep.
I really don't know where it's going. Whereas if I'm doing it with somebody else and maybe talking it out loud or finding a new way to solve the problem or doing it in color pencil even, it adds a fun or play to it. So I can stick with it a little bit longer, even if it's a little bit hard, and I might stay a little bit more interested. So,
and we talked about that, to digress, because it was last year, in 2013 we did it. You and I did an Attention Talk video on that. We talked about, imagine that you're a sales guy having to make your cold calls, and you're struggling with it.
Yeah.
If you make a game out of it, it make it much more engaging and easier for you to do that than just to sit there and just deal with the drudgery of it. And that's a great example of how you can bring play to an environment, ADHD or not, in this situation, ADHD, and really, really use it to help you move forward.
Yes.
Which actually leads into
a... you had somebody who was going to lead into. I had somebody who was going to lead into. You go first. It's your show.
Well, you hold the thought. We'll come back to this point. Is that I bumped into an individual who's an ADHD sales coach, Steve Colander, and we did two shows in September on this, and one of them was fascinating to me because the shows, the focus of them was, first of all, sales. One of the shows, we ripped sales apart, like, you know, you sell, there's episodic sales and reoccurring sales, there's growth sales. I mean, there's all kinds of different sales, and they all kind of require different attributes. And so often people just say, well, ADDers should have sales jobs. And we were trying to, like, to pull out the fact that no, it really kind of depends. The other thing that was that spawned me to talk about this off of play is we were talking in one of the shows about how many of those with ADD, like, they talk out loud. They do a lot of verbally processing. And in his coaching, we're coaching those with ADHD who talk a lot, sometimes we're coaching them on the fact that they do think out loud and how to manage that, and to pause, if you will, and manage it. What was fascinating from Steve was he outlined that many of those with ADD, they pause and know that they're doing that, but they've got to pause in a sales situation and realize they should stop because so often they keep talking way past the sale and that they need to know that to kind of come up and learn to manage quiet moving towards a sale. And I just had to say that because you're externalizing that thought process in the environment, so it's about doing it. And the ultimate in coaching is pausing and being aware of what's going on so you can manage it. So those were two fun shows. Now, here's
forget the other one that I was going to talk about. I remember what it was. But, you know, pausing, you and I did another one of my favorite shows because it was you and I on the show, and it was that blurting, babbling, and interrupting show.
Yep.
I love that show. Because we were taking opposite sides again. You know, you had brought up a conversation that was happening online, and, you know, people were coming up with these really mundane ways to manage blurting, and I think the two of us, our eyes rolling at that. Really? Is that really what you do? And I think some of the points were, you know, sometimes other people need to accommodate when you have ADHD that you're going to do that. And
keep going.
Go ahead.
Well, you know, it was fun in that show because there was a couple times we were tying back the stuff on Barclay. It was because if you need to externalize what's going on in your prefrontal cortex and you need to talk to think, to not talk is not to think. And so That show was interesting because it was particularly fun by taking a look at the article and taking a look at the theory and saying, hey, listen, sometimes it can be as simple as if you know you do it, pause and say, excuse me, can I talk out loud for a second? Or I need to bounce some logic off of you. There's little structures that you can do that you can actually get permission to do these things. And so that was a real fun show, and I'm glad you brought it up. Because we were debating that stuff, but we were also doing it in relation to some of these other theories out there so people could get a context to understand how it is. All too often, I think, in this ADD world, is everybody just takes a look at this thing, and they don't put it into the right context. And I don't think you can manage anything unless you understand it in a context. Just like I don't think you could understand Kirsten's brain unless you understand how her brain thinks. And you can't understand Jeff unless you understand how Jeff thinks. If you just throw something that's generic out there, we're not the same, so the same solutions aren't going to work for us. So anyway, that's my two cents.
So could I just pick on you for a moment? Would that be okay?
Please.
Even though Chris is fine?
Hey, listen, I'm a target, so go ahead.
I know. You don't move very fast. You're in it. But, you know, on December 11th, I listened into your show on finding it difficult to pause because of menopause.
Uh-huh.
And I got to tell you, you know, saying, like, you know, sometimes you don't put things in context and you don't understand unless you've, like, got some perspective on it.
Uh-huh.
I got to tell you, Kessler was walking all over your show because I just don't know how a woman who hasn't had menopause, much less a man, is going to understand that. And I think that it was an interesting – it was very daring of you.
Well, you know, I'm glad you brought it up. There's a story behind that. And you know, it's years ago I was doing a show with Dr. Patricia Quinn, and literally in the show it was how ADHD manifests different between boys and girls and kind of whatever. And I mean, I had heard it and I kind of thought about it, but all of a sudden she started talking about, you know, internalization. I'm like, holy crap! I mean, I thought there was something to it, but I didn't realize the magnitude. And I'm like, whoa, this is. I mean, I kind of got it at that point in time. And since that time, I had always been looking for – I wanted a woman to come on and talk about her experience, whether it was puberty or whatever, because, you know, you got hormones raging at, you know, puberty or menopause or even your monthly cycle, and then you have ADD, and I wanted somebody who wasn't a mental health professional, somebody that could speak to it as an individual. And you know how hard that was to find. It'd be difficult to get a 16-year-old teenager to describe that while it's happening because they're pulling that stuff together. So with that being said, I was in Detroit doing some interviews with Rick Green, Totally ADD. He was videotaping me and blah, blah, blah. And I'd been, you know, we were brainstorming about shows that we wanted to do. And people said, well, you got to check out, you know, Zoe. So I called Zoe up, and, man, she's a lightning rod. I'm like, wow. She can speak with passion. I said, you know something? I said, no matter what, this is going to be a good show because she's just her energy and her excitement. And when I brought her on and I made those statements, now I'm a guy, I have no idea what I'm talking about. You're right. At that point in time, I was just sitting there kind of observing what was going on. But, you know, it was a really, really fun show. And there were some things in it that were unexpected. And I think there's the way Zoe pitched a few of those would be a little different from other women's experience. But the cool thing about it is if you walked away, the key thing was, oh, yes, those things do impact women with ADHD when they're happening.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Everybody's experience is going to be different, but you need to be aware that it's not just a flat level playing field. There's spikes and stuff at different times of life and different times of the month as a result of that. So at the end of the day, I'm hoping that people paid attention to that and not the specifics or even the other show about the couch in France and all that kind of stuff, which you have to go listen to the show to understand that story. But anyway, it was kind of a hoot. So, and we, you know, we like those live wires every once in a while.
The fact that Rick Green introduced you to Zoe makes it all clear now. It makes it all clear.
I shouldn't know, which is kind of funny because Rick and I have been doing a little bit more interviewing each other a little bit. It's funny because I like the way he thinks, although you get the two of us in an interview, and it's like, who's interviewing who and how's that going? So it's
yes.
Interesting to go. If you go listen to the one, like we were talking about story or whatever, it can get all over the place. One of the shows that we did on the anatomy of a story is he had done a presentation. It was really kind of profound. You need to realize that the media runs the agenda. Like if I'm going to go on be interviewed with him, he's running the agenda. And when you're coming on my show, I'm running the agenda. And it was interesting because when we get together, we both want to do that stuff, and it's a little chaotic, but it's, you know, a lot of good material gets kind of covered. So
then who was running the agenda on October 23rd when it was you and Ava and Rick Green?
Well, look, there's a squirrel. There's a butterfly. But, you know,
that was a wonderful show. You know that I love the two of them. They did a great presentation in Detroit, and they did a great presentation on Attention Talk Radio, the We Plus ADHD Creating Great Relationships.
Yep. Well, the cool part about that is if you watch the show, is part of that show, it was a little bit all over the place, but it was the dynamic of an ADHD relationship. I mean, when you think about it. And what's funny is I've come to know Rick a little bit, and he was unplugged in that one. In dealing with three, it was her and me and stuff like that, and what I've learned is he's brilliant. He's absolutely amazing. What's really cool is when they do their videos is Ava's there to filter all of it. She kind of catches the best and puts it together. But there's a little bit of kind of going all over to get there, and if you really watch that show or listen to the show, excuse me, and you notice what – because Ava, too, would actually grapple that stuff in, and every once in a while I try to rein it in. But that's part of the dynamic. And what was part of the fun part of that show was actually trying to manage all that stuff going on at the same time.
It was, I loved listening to it, and my biggest comment was that you were silent for so long. I had to say it was somewhat painful for you. But it was a great show. I love the two of them. They're both passionate. They clearly work really well with each other, and they're a great example of a really good relationship where one partner has ADHD and the other one doesn't. And, anybody who has an opportunity to listen to that show, go listen to anything else that Jeff and Rick have done or Rick and Ava have done, because I just think they're onto something there that nobody else is really doing.
I'll echo that. At the end of that show, we had a little technology stuff, because sometimes when it's over with, I put everything on mute and I talk to the host and thank them, our guests and thank them. And this time we were on live a little bit after. I didn't necessarily know it. And it was really funny because I remember telling Ava and Rick that they really needed to bottle that stuff and start doing some workshops on weekend because they weren't mental health professionals talking about it. They were two people with ADD that have learned about ADD and were living it. And that's a completely different dynamic when you have a professional up there saying, well, in the epidemic world, you got to do this. And when you see them interact together, then you actually see it unfolding because it's live and there's nothing like it. And so I was sincere, although we've taken that off the show just because, but it was literally sincere. And I have urged them since then that they need to expand that stuff because I think it'd be very valuable for a lot of people out there. So, Kirsten, it's time to get back to Christmas. We need to kind of wrap this thing up. Any closing comments, any thoughts that you'd like to share before we call it a year?
No, Jeff, I just, you and I started the year off together, and then we decided that I was going to be your part-time guest / co-host, and your shows, with and without me, just are always phenomenal. You add so much value for people in the ADHD community, their partners, people who are just interested in ADHD. And I think that you give everybody a huge gift every single week on Wednesday night that you can unwrap over and over again because all of them are still there in the archives. And so I'm grateful to have been given the gift to be on the show. And hopefully to do some more with you in the future.
Well, we plan on it actually, we have to digress. We have to tell the story, the whole divorce thing.
The story.
So this is a true story. So originally, Kirsten approaches me, and I had wanted to get a co-host just to spice things up for a period of time, and she approached me on the idea of this, and we sat down about how we were going to, pull this thing together. And in learning Kirsten a little bit, it became clear that she had ADD, and she just loved all kinds of stuff, and she'd be all the place. And it dawned on me that this wasn't going to be a relationship that was going to last forever. And so literally we brought the stuff up and said, what are we going to do when we get the divorce? And she said, oh, you're right, we're going to get a divorce. And we consciously knew that, and we worked together for about a year, and you started Play ADHD, and I could tell that you had a couple distractions that were kind of coming on. And it was funny because I went to you at that point in time, and I said, listen, let's don't get divorced. Let's just get a separation for a while.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, Kirsten, is that I've really enjoyed the separation. We're still not divorced. You've come back on the show a couple times. You already know that I want to have you back on next year and do a bunch more point counterpoints. And, you know, I have to tell you, I'm thankful that you reached out because you really brought a dynamic to the show. You've made me think. And a lot of times you brought other perspectives with guests that we've interviewed, which I really think added and augmented to the show. So with that, everybody, you've heard about the dating, the courtship. You heard about the marriage. We're actually in separation right now, hopefully indefinitely. But
I'm doing it really well. We're doing it really well.
More to come on that. You know, isn't really kind of cool? Like, okay, we know we're going to get divorced, so separation was good. So anyway, with that, everybody, thank you so much for a great year. Thank you for the emails. Thanks for the posts. Thanks for everything. You are the reason we do what we do. We're thrilled every year. The growth just astounds us. It also just blows me away, particularly when we start hearing from people from other parts of the country and we hear other personal stories. So with that, thank you very much for listening in and to everything. And Kirsten, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you. Happy holidays and Happy New Year.
That's right. All right, everybody, catch us next week for another great edition of Attention Talk Radio as we start off the new year. And Kirsten, have a great couple days.
You too.